Father, we thank you for this great morning, and we have gathered this morning to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you. In the power of Christ, we stand. In the power of Christ, we have gathered in your name. Though we are not physically together, we're together through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored this morning. As we continue our time in worship through the Word, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, teach us new things today, remind us of things that we have known. And Lord, I pray that as we turn to your Word, that the Holy Spirit would use it in our life, and that it would be relevant, that it would be true, that it would be life-changing and life-giving. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 46, verse 10 this morning. Psalm 46, verse 10. And I just want to say again, as some have already said, Happy Mother's Day. We are a scattered church gathering virtually again this morning. We are a church with no walls, and we are eager to love God and love others and serve the world. I don't have to tell you that we are living in a very interesting season. We have gathered together virtually for many weeks now. And questions are starting to be raised as to when will we gather again as a church for public worship, now that permission has been given for partial reopening of some businesses. So those questions are beginning to be raised. And I want to let you know that the ministry team and the elders are working together to draft a plan going forward. As we continue to navigate our current situation and the future of this ministry and the ministry opportunities and public worship on Sunday mornings, we ask for your patience and we certainly ask for your prayers, because none of this is simple and none of this is easy. But in the meantime, we are encouraging everyone who feels comfortable to engage with a Bethel group. Now here at Bethel, we call many of our ministry opportunities groups. So whether that's a Bible study for women or for men or a small group or any of those kinds of things. So we're asking all of you to engage with a Bethel group for the purpose of connection and the purpose of encouragement and prayer and spiritual growth. If you're already in a small group, please continue to meet either virtually or, if you feel comfortable, gathering in person. We encourage that, of course, following all the recommendations. And if you're not in a small group, I encourage you today to go to our website and to sign up for a small group, or to call the church office and we'll help you get connected in a small group. I have one more way that I think you can help us. Good leadership seeks input, and we want to be wise, and we want to lead well, because we love you, and because we care deeply about you. We're asking for your participation by taking what we call a climate survey that will literally take you less than 5 minutes. If you are in our database, you'll be receiving an email tomorrow with the survey. Could you help us by taking just a couple of minutes and fill out the survey and returning it back to us no later than Wednesday at 5 p.m.? It's our hope to draft a reopening plan based on all of the data that we are collecting from all different sources, and we believe that this climate survey could be one of those sources that can help us in our thinking. We're in a series called Imitate, and it's based on Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and it says this: Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So in light of this series, in light of that word imitate, we're going to do our first interaction for just a minute, and here's the question. When you hear the word imitate, what comes to mind? Again, if you have your Bibles, we are in Psalm 46:10. And if you're following along on the outline, the first idea is this idea of be still. Be still. It doesn't matter who we are, where we're going, how powerful we think we are, how much money we have, what we look like, or what our accomplishments are, our talents that we have. God says to every one of his creation, be still and know that I am God. In the first half of this verse, God's voice breaks through and says, enough. That's enough. Stop. God's voice penetrates the chaos and the worries and the noise of this world. In verse 6 of the same psalm, it says, nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. In other words, the world is uneasy and there's so much turmoil. And God breaks in and says, shh, enough. Take time to hear me. Take time to know and to acknowledge me as the God who will be exalted above all nations and in all of the earth and in your life. What we're looking at this morning is Psalm 46:10, and it's a timeless truth. And just like then, the world that we're living in is in turmoil. It's unsettled. Whether there's a war or there's a threat of a war or epidemics or pandemics or natural disasters or even our very own lives, we all know what it feels like to have this uneasiness and this unsettledness within us. For a moment, let me share with you some things that I think we are really, really good at. I think we know how to let the pressure of life build within us until we are literally ready to burst. I think we know how to work ourselves into such a frenzy over some of the littlest things that we feel like literally we're going to explode. I think we're experts at getting ourselves all worked up for nothing. I think we're good at being anxious about our job, about our kids, about our marriage, about the future, about money, about bills, to the point where we feel physically sick. I think we're really good at worrying about things that are out of our control. Would you agree? I think that we're good at fretting over decisions. I think that we're really good at avoiding the hard things in this life, making life hard. Again, that is why Psalm 46:10 is this timeless treasure, this timeless truth. This verse is not promoting contemplative prayer. It's not suggesting that we just sit and we empty our minds completely, allowing whatever to enter. That's not what our Creator is waiting for. He's waiting for us to be still. He's waiting for us to enter into his presence, eager to find rest, eager to find peace and calmness. He's waiting for us to be deliberate and to focus our entire self on him, to rid ourselves of all distractions and just be in his presence. It reminds me of Psalm 91:1-2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If your life is filled with chaos, even now, because you now have to figure out how to balance work, you have to figure out homeschooling, you have to figure out virtual relationships, meal prep, whatever it is, and you're finding yourself getting anxious, and you need peace, God says right here, It's an invitation. He says, be still. If you are confused or lost and need of direction in this life right now, even in the midst of all the stuff that we're experiencing, he says, be still. If you're faced with decisions and you need wisdom, do you ever find yourself there? I do. I find myself often crying out to God, God, I don't know what to do here. I need your wisdom. And he says, be still. If you want to know that God is there, be still. If you want to know that God cares, be still. If you want to know that God is listening, be still. If you want to know that God has a plan, be still. If you want renewal and find, if you want a renewal and find a refreshment, be still. If you want satisfaction and fulfillment, he says, be still. If you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, be still. If you want to experience his unconditional love, be still. What is it about being still that we're afraid of? Why would God ever have to say to us, guys, be still? Because he created within us the need to be still. We weren't designed to run at such an unhealthy pace. We weren't designed to exist under such incredible and tremendous pressure. We weren't designed to be people pleasers. And it's when we're still before God that we discover the depth. And it's when we're still before God that we discover the magnitude of God to be far greater than we ever could have imagined. When we're not still, we experience living life in such a way that we were never designed to. And only when we are still before God are we able to give him our undivided attention. We're able to focus on him alone, and we're able to allow the music of this life just to kind of fade in the background. And it's in that place that we're able to hear his voice. It is there that we find what we've been looking for all along. I can't tell you how many times this verse has crossed my mind. It's really easy to memorize, and I encourage you to do so. When I get all worked up about things, I will oftentimes be reminded of this verse. When I accept, or when I RSVP, or when I attend this invitation that God gives us, 100% of the time, I always find peace. In this one little verse, God's voice breaks through and he says, enough, stop, take a breath, slow down, chill out, know that I am here, know that I am God. And it's like he's saying, come and sit with me. Here's another interaction, and here's a question for you maybe to ponder or to answer. What scares you most about being still before God? Secondly, I want to talk about this idea of acknowledge him. The second part of Psalm 46:10 says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's mighty acts in and through and around his people will bring him universal recognition. Nations will bow down. And he's calling us out. He's speaking directly into our lives. We need to stop fighting for whatever we are fighting for if it's not for him and his glory. I want to say that again. He's calling us out and he's saying, if you're fighting for something that's not for me and my glory, stop fighting. God's got this. He was and is and will always be above all people, all nations. A day is coming when all people will know that he alone is God. Outside of the fact most people can't stand silence, I believe that there are three reasons as to why we have such a difficult time being still in God's presence. And I guess I would just call them roadblocks, things that keep us from hitting that pause button, that reset button, and just sitting quietly with the Lord. And the first one, these won't be a surprise to you, but the first one is pace. Outward commotion in our lives results in inward turmoil. We weren't designed for the high-speed passing lane. There are times when we are all busy, and there are times when we need to be busy, and there are times when we need to drive hard and fast. God didn't put us here to see how fast we can get to the finish line. Blaise Pascal, a mathematician and theologian, says, most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. Think about that for just a second. Most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. It brings satisfaction. It feels good sometimes to be busy. It even provides for me a sense of purpose and direction, because busyness says, I am worthy. The appearance of busyness says, I'm important. Eric Hoffer says the feeling of being hurried is not usually the result of living a full life and having no time. It is, on contrary, born of a vague fear that we are wasting our life. And I think that we can relate to that as believers. Sometimes we have this underlying fear that we're wasting our life. Everywhere, it seems, people are overscheduled, are overcommitted, workers are weary, parents are preoccupied, and children and family relationships have been neglected. And then there is all the noise in the midst of our fast-paced lives. We have a very difficult time being quiet. We either have to have a TV on or a radio playing in the background just for the noise. Where and when do you find quietness during your day? The scripture tells us that God speaks with a still, small voice, like a whisper. And the chance of us hearing God's voice through all of the noise of life, through all of the chaos of life, through this incredible pace, is slim to none. I wonder what our lives would be like if we could just shut off all of the outside noise. What if we were to take all of our electronics and put them away for a time, our cell phones, our iPads, our TVs, our computers? I think that we would find our lives to be awkwardly quiet. Could it be that in the awkward quietness, we would hear God's voice and sense his presence? I think so. While it might be awkward for us to not have all of the noise and all of the distractions, it would not be awkward for God, because he's waiting. I'm not suggesting that we just get rid of all of the things in our life that are noisy. I'm merely suggesting that we are aware of those things, and rather than allow them to constantly be a distraction to us and preoccupy us at the expense of being still before God, we learn how to find balance by not neglecting God for the noise. I have experienced the impact of the pace of life firsthand at different seasons in my life. When I served here as a youth pastor from 1996 to 2000, the pace of ministry was crazy. It was not sustainable, at least in a healthy way. I was teaching three times a week, leading a ministry team level, teaching them theology, leading a small group, hanging out with students, leading ongoing fundraisers, planning and taking trips. It was nuts year round. And when I left here, in 2000 and went to Iowa to plant a church, I thought the pace which I had come so accustomed to would continue. It did not. Although I had to lead a core group and cast vision and I had to launch a church and meet with people, it was not the same. In fact, coming from such a high-paced environment to planting a church, are you ready for this? I was bored. And eventually I became depressed. The depression took root and was beginning to impact me and the people around me. And I went to see a doctor, and he diagnosed me with what was called situational depression. Situational depression is known medically as adjustment disorder with depressed mood. And I was experiencing a major adjustment. See, for me, it was go, 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 go. And then it was like all of a sudden in my life, somebody grabbed the e-brake and pulled it. And my mind and my body didn't know how to adjust to the different pace of planning and decision making. I want you to take another time for interaction and ask and answer this question, or just wrestle with it. How has the pace of life impacted you and kept you from being still? We just talked about how our pace can keep us from being still. Now let's talk about how the pressure of life can keep us from being still. I find this interesting, and I think partly because it was back in the time when I was in high school when some of this came out. Leisure time, once plentiful and elastic, is now scarce and elusive. People seeking the good life are finding it increasingly difficult to enjoy it, even if they can afford it. Because what money was in the 80s, time has become since. According to a Lou Harris survey, the amount of leisure time enjoyed by the average American has shrunk 37%. A major reason is an expanding work week. Over the same period, the average work week has increased from fewer than 41 hours to nearly 47 hours a week. And for some professions, and we all know that there are some that work up to 80 hours a week, and that's not uncommon. Harris therefore concludes that time may have become the most precious commodity in the land. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Testimony before a Senate subcommittee in 1967 predicted that by 1985, people could be working just 22 hours a week or 27 weeks a year, and most would retire at the age of 38. The major challenge facing people should have been what to do with all of their leisure time provided by our technological wizardry. Instead, technology has been more of an enemy than an ally. Technology is increasing the heartbeat, says Manhattan architect James Trenzo, who designs automated environments. We are inundated with information. The mind can't handle it all. The pace is so fast, I sometimes feel like a gunfighter dodging bullets. So the ultimate question that we have to ask ourselves is this: do I believe God offers me a relationship that is so satisfying that I no longer have to succumb to the outside pressure of success or feeling important or keeping up with the Joneses? It's because God says, be still and know that I am God. So we've talked about the pace of life, the pressure that we face. And the last one I want to talk about is this idea, this pleaser mentality in us. I think sometimes we can live in a vacuum hoping that in the end we will impress whoever it is that we've set out to impress. Sometimes we long to impress others more I hate to even say this. Sometimes we long to impress others more than we desire to please God. Not that he ever stops loving us, but our drive to impress and make others happy can consume us. We're driven to be liked and to be desired to be around. Therefore, we do that we might somehow catch other people's attention. We have a longing for approval. Many people who are busybodies are trying to gain approval from someone else. And in some cases, it's apparent that they are longing to gain approval from. For some, it's a spouse or it's a boss or it's a coach. The need for approval drives many people. Many sinful decisions, I think, are made in the vacuum of feeling accepted for who we are. We all like to hear the words, "I'm proud of you. Great job. Well done. You are enough just the way you are." There isn't one of us that would rather hear "well done" from the crowd at the cost of hearing "well done" by our Savior. At least I hope not. So then why are we so eager to live to please people and take for granted pleasing God? If accolades and applause is what we're after, we'll receive it. God didn't put us on this earth so we could receive a standing ovation. He put us here so he could get a standing ovation. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth." It has been great to dive into God's word together. I love you guys. And I hope to see you at our Mother's Day drive-thru here in just a little bit from 11 to 1. We'd love to just see your faces. I want to leave you with one thing, and it's this. Be still in God's presence and find what you've been looking for all along. We're going to continue in just a moment. We're going to continue worshiping with this last song, singing "The Great I Am." Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that in one very short verse, there's so much that we have to wrestle with. And even just the first couple words, "be still." It just rubs cross grain in life because of the pace, because of the pressures, because of this desire to please others. Lord, as we're quiet before you, I think we'll find what we've been looking for all along. And now we want to worship you through song, "The Great I Am."